नमः नमः भद्राय नमः चंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 67 द डेथ ऑफ कुंभकर्ण. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Thus did the monkeys of mountainous bulk listen to the words of Angada. Their innate courage and valor came back to them, and they were eager for a fight with the monster. They shouted their valor of deeds. They placed their hopes in their own strength and prowess. They resolved to sacrifice their lives in the cause of Rama, and that most gladly. So they hemmed in Kumbhakarna on all sides with joyful cries and offered him a dreadful fight. They hit him from all sides with uprooted trees and mountains. But Kumbhakarna was beside himself with wrath. He brandished his mace with frightful force and slew the monkeys in large crowds at a time and threw them forth all round. 700, 800, 1,000, and thus did he crash down to the earth the monkeys at one stroke. 8, 10, 16, 20, 30, and so on did he throw down his throat the monkeys as he ran. Like unto the serpents that passed through the throat of Garuda, the monkeys that found a place in his stomach were past count. Then the generals did their best to allay the panic among the monkeys. They rallied back from all quarters and gathered around him with rocks and trees in their hands. Vivida uprooted a large mountain and sent it against Kumbhakarna like a boundless cloud bank resting lightly upon a big hill. But it missed him and fell upon the Rakshasa troops around him and smashed countless horses, elephants, chariots and Rakshasas. Once again he tore up another mountain and crashed it upon the horses and rivers of the Rakshasa cars, causing a veritable deluge of blood to flow. On the other hand, the Rakshasa warriors shore off the heads of the monkeys with their keen arrows and roared frightfully. The monkeys in turn retaliated with huge trees and made short work of the cars, horses, elephants, camels and soldiers. Hanuman stood in the sky above and kept up a continual shower of mountain peaks and trees on the devoted head of Kumbhakarna. But the latter clove them with his trident, smashed them to powder and rushed upon the monkey hosts with a sharp weapon aloft. Maddened at the destruction of his clansmen, Maruti tore up a large mountain and barred his way and hit him frightfully. The Rakshasa shook and staggered at the terrible impact of the blow, with his mountainous bulk of body covered with blood and fat. Then he blazed like a mountain peak on fire, whirled his trident that shook like the lightning, and like unto Shanmuga, who hit the Mount Krauncha of yore with his dreadful weapon Shakti, landed a terrific blow right on the chest of Hanuman. Anjaneya fared badly at the hands of his foe. His chest was cloven, his senses were dazed and confused, and he vomited torrents of blood and roared frightfully, even like the black cloud banks on the day of dissolution. The Rakshasas roared with joy at the sight of Hanuman so. The monkeys lost their heart and fled away from the battle in mad terror. Then Nila ordered the troops afresh, calmed them a bit, and hit Kumbhakarna with a mountain peak. The foe clenched his fist and struck at the rock. So terrible was the force behind it that it crumbled into dust and fell on the earth, emitting sparks of flame. Then Rishabha, Sharabha, Nila, Gavaksha and Gandhamadana gathered around Kumbhakarna and hit him fiercely with mountains and trees, fists and feet. But these were to him as if someone was gently pressing his limbs to bring ease and comfort to them. In his turn, he crushed Rishabha between his arms, and the monkey had no whole bone in his body. His eyes and tongue hung out and he fell on the earth, vomiting blood profusely. Kumbhakarna crashed down Sharabha with his fist. He sent Nila flying with a blow of his knee, struck with an open palm at Gavaksha and kicked Gandhamadana aloft with his feet. Unable to withstand the blow, they fainted away like uprooted Kimshuka trees and measured their length upon the earth, deluging it with their blood. Thereat, thousands of monkeys gathered around Kumbhakarna and climbed upon his mountainous body. They bit and tore and hit at him. Finding them running all over his body like lofty trees on a large mountain, he gathered them in his hands and, like Garuda himself sending the serpents down the throat, swallowed them in his mad fury. But the monkeys that fell into the abysmal depths of his throat, resembling the dark underworlds, came out through his ears and nose. Thus did he make a meal of thousands of monkeys. His fury was but increased thereby, and he gathered them between his arms in crowds and bands, crushed them into a shapeless mass, and sent them down to find a place in his voracious maw. Covered all over with flesh and fat and blood, they ran down him wherever he went. He roamed among his Rakshasa troops like unto the fire of dissolution in the height of his wrath. Everyone was in the grip of mad terror when they beheld him brandishing aloft his dreadful trident. They took him for Indra with his thunderbolt, or Yama with his noose of destruction. Even as a conflagration burns down in midsummer the dry wood of the forest, Kumbhakarna consumed to ashes the monkey hosts with the fire of his anger. The leaders lay in hopeless swoon, there was none to lead them, and they were howling frightfully as they trembled and shook with fear. Crushed down by that Rakshasa in crowds, their hearts turned to water, and utterly dazed and confused, they took refuge with Raghava. Thereat, Angada tore up a mountain, roared frightfully so that the hearts of the Rakshasas that followed Kumbhakarna quaked in terror and hit the monster on the head. Kumbhakarna minded it not in the least. He blazed all the more furiously. He roared so that the monkeys fell down bereft of their wits, sprang at Angada and sent his trident at him with a dreadful whirl. But Angada, a past master in all kinds of fight, escaped it lightly by his strength and agility. He sprang at his foe and hit him squarely on the chest. Kumbhakarna staggered a little. Then he steadied himself, clenched his right fist, and hit and threw Angada far away from him. The hero of a monkey could not withstand it and fell on the earth all unconscious. Then Kumbhakarna recovered his trident and rushed at Sugriva. The monkey tore up a mountain peak, rolled it round to give additional force to it, and faced the Rakshasa prince. But he bent his body and limb and stood like a rock awaiting the impact. Sugriva addressed him as he stood there with his body smeared with streams of blood, munching the monkeys without a stop or a stay. "You have thrashed down the heroes among us. You have performed today feats of valor impossible to others. You have devoured my armies past count. Peerless fame you have laid to your account. But what have you to do with these puny creatures? Come to me, holding this mountain peak in my hand. Dare you stand the blow with this?" Kumbhakarna listened to the brave and haughty words of Sugriva and laughed in thunderous tones and said, "I know that you are the grandson of Lord Brahma, the son of Rikshrajas. You are well known to the world for your valor and prowess. Then why waste your words and brag?" The lord of the monkey world was enraged beyond control thereat and hit Kumbhakarna on the chest with that mountain peak, hard and cruel as a vajra in the hands of Indra. But it was smashed to powder when it came against the broad adamantine chest of the Rakshasa. Thereat the Rakshasa shouted for joy and the monkeys grieved sorely. The Rakshasa lord was roused to fury thereby, and opening his wide mouth that resembled a huge mountain cave, gave a leonine roar that caused the waters to tremble and quiver. Then he whirled aloft his trident with incredible speed and sent it against Sugriva with intent to kill him. Adorned with garlands of gold, fitted with sharp joints and spikes, it emitted flames as it fell on Sugriva. But Anjaneya rushed between them and snatched it away and broke it to pieces with his bare hands. 1,000 tons of black iron went to fashion it, and Marathi broke it like a chip of wood on his knees. It sent many a brave warrior to his death among the monkeys. They roared lustily when they saw that Marathi made short work of it. They took wild and frantic leaps and shouted themselves hoarse, gaining courage. They rushed from all sides and crowded round Marathi, whom they praised to the skies and offered reverence to. Kumbhakarna saw that his trusted weapon was broken. He tore up a peak of the mountain Trikuta and hit Sugriva with it. The lord of the monkeys measured his length on the earth, bereft of his senses. The Rakshasa host roared mightily with joy thereat. Kumbhakarna lost no time in throwing him over his shoulders and took his way back to Lanka with the speed of a tornado, chasing before it light cloud banks. As he walked along with the lord of the monkeys, who was no light burden but resembled a huge cloud bank, It gave him the appearance of the lofty mountain Meru walking on earth with one of its peaks. The Rakshasa army praised him to the skies and shouted their war cries. But the hosts of Devas were struck with wonder and cried, "Oh, oh," in sorrow. If Sugriva, the king of the monkey world and the intimate friend and ally of Rama and Lakshmana, is carried away, there will be confusion in the army. Then it is but light work to disperse them, and Rama and Lakshmana will have to go back in despair. Such was the thought of Kumbhakarna as he concluded that the battle was practically over. On the other hand, Sugriva was in the mighty grip of the monster and failed not to see that his army was melting away in fear. Hanuman too saw it through his keen intelligence and said to himself, "What shall I do now? I cannot keep myself back from doing which is useful and prudent on the occasion. Shall I take the form of a huge mountain and crush the Rakshasa to death under my weight? Or I may bring back spirit and courage and cheer to the hearts of the monkeys if I kill him with my bare fist and free their king. Well, that is not so prudent, for his majesty will free himself in a moment. The Devas and the Asuras combined cannot keep him in bond, but he is now unconscious through the effects of the mountain thrown at him by Kumbhakarna. Very soon, he will recover himself and take such measures as will conduce to the interests of himself and the monkeys. If I precipitate matters and free him, that warrior king par excellence will be angry with me, for it will put upon his fair name and fame an indelible blot. So let me wait a while. Let me see what Sugriva does. Meanwhile, I will rally the troops and calm their fears." So he stayed them all round and put hope and courage in their hearts. Kumbhakarna made his way into Lanka, carrying with him Sugriva of blazing luster. Clouds of flowers rained on him from houses, aircrafts, towers and palaces. Fried rice and perfumes fell upon him in torrents. The royal road was cool and blazing, and Sugriva was endowed with unparalleled strength and spirit. So he came back to himself very soon and found himself on the chest of Kumbhakarna of mountainous bulk and between his arms. All around him he beheld the mansions of the Rakshasas and the inhabitants themselves crowding around. So he said to himself, "I am in the power of the foe and in his grip. Now I should set about to free myself and make adequate return for the injury and insult he has inflicted upon me. What shall I do? Only that which will conduce to the well-being and the joy of the monkeys." Then he tore away with his keen claws the ears of Kumbhakarna and bit off the sides of his nose. Deprived of his ears and nose, Kumbhakarna was maddened with a torrent of blood flowing around his body and whirled the monkey aloft, brought him down with a terrific force on the earth and ground him beneath his feet. Even then, the monkey somehow managed to spring up into the sky above and reached the side of Sri Rama very soon. The Rakshasa stood there bereft of his ears and nose, torrents of blood raining from him, like a huge mountain with its roaring and rushing streams. Boundless was his strength and valor, so he heeded it not, but came back to the battlefield. He could not put up with that insult. Vomiting forth blood, he resembled a mountain of black paint covered with clouds of red hue. Finding himself without a weapon, he snatched a dreadful bar of iron and struck down the monkey host and threw them down his throat, and his followers marched after him. He blazed like the fire of destruction on the last day of the cycles when all the beings are gathered back. Even then his appetite was not satisfied. His craving for flesh and blood grew apace. He grew mad with the lust of battle, and he slew and ate without any distinction of friend or foe, Rakshasas, monkeys, demons, or bears. Like unto the Lord of Death, laying low all creation on the day of universal destruction, he gathered in one hand monkeys and Rakshasas and crushed them out of shape and ceased not throwing them down his bottomless mouth. Blood and fat flowing all over his body struck and hit with mountainous peaks, but heeding it not, thanks to his extraordinary strength, two huge torrents of blood ran down the corners of his mouth as he bit and munched the monkey hosts. Running with frightful speed, he gathered together in his hands his enemies, 700 or 800 at a time, crushed them to a pulp and threw them down his voracious mouth. Thereat the monkeys took refuge with Sri Rama, the Lord of all the worlds. Then Lakshmana was mightily angry. He barred Kumbhakarna's way, sending into his body 7 keen arrows. The Rakshasa paid no heed to it. He passed by the prince and rushed at Rama while the earth shook under his feet. Then Rama hit him on his breast with a keen arrow into which he placed the weapon of Rudra. At once burning cinders fell blazing from his mouth. Hit with the arrows of Rama, he howled dreadfully and stayed not his force as he struck down and chased the monkeys in fury. The arrows of Rama, decked with the feathers of the peacock, were embedded in his chest and troubled him somewhat. The bar of iron fell from his grasp and the other weapons were scattered all around. Finding himself weaponless, he struck to death the monkeys with his fists and feet. Riddled all over his body with arrows, he resembled a mountain down whose sides roared torrents and cataracts of water. He was clean beside himself with frightful anger and lust of blood and continued to eat the monkeys, the rakshasas and the bears. Next, he tore up a mountain peak and whirled it aloft and brought it down upon Rama, who reduced it to powder with 7 dreadful arrows. At once 200 monkey heroes struck at him with shafts as he ran along, blazing in his luster like Mount Meru. Lakshmana, of righteous and just soul, thought over many plans to kill him and said, "Sugriva, this monster is crazy with the smell of blood and kills and eats the monkeys and rakshasas without distinction. So let our warriors get up on him from all sides. Let our generals gather round him. Maybe he will crash down under their weight. Let them take care to avoid being crushed under him in that case." Thereat these monkeys cheered up and climbed up the body of the Rakshasa. He was immensely angry at this, and like an elephant in rut, casting off his bonds, he flung away the monkeys from himself with the speed of thought. Rama beheld it and said, "This Rakshasa is very dangerous." Then he bent his bow and rushed at Kumbhakarna with flaming eyes, as if he would burn up in his wrath his puny foe. At this, the monkeys cast off their fear and plucked up courage and joy. He allayed their fears and whirled around him his bow, beautifully chased with gold and strung like unto the serpent of doom. His quivers of matchless make and potency graced his back. Lakshmana followed him close and started to give fight to his foe, surrounded by his monkey hosts. There he beheld Kumbhakarna, who, with his crown set with flowing jewels, shone like a peak of Mount Meru adorned with the rays of the sun. Torrents of blood rolled down his body. Boundless was his strength and might. He crashed down everything that came in his way like the elephants that guard the regions of the earth when they are roused to anger. Surrounded by the Rakshasas, he chased the monkeys to eat them up. He was frightful to behold, even like the mountains Vindhya and Mandara. He was adorned with garlands of gold, armlets and earrings of many a curious pattern and design. Streams of blood ran down the corners of his mouth like torrents from the clouds. He licked it with gusto as he gathered the monkeys and ate them up. His splendor and luster was like a flaming fire. At the sight of that best and bravest of the Rakshasas, Rama bent his bow, strung it, and twanged it dreadfully, so that the quarters trembled in affright. That filled the Rakshasa with anger and impatience, and he rushed at Rama like a black cloud lashed by a storm, with arms long and stout like the great serpent Adisesha. He tore along like a huge mountain on foot. Rama addressed him thus, "Most mighty of the Rakshasa race, come on and cast away your care and anxiety. Here am I eagerly awaiting your arrival with bow in hand. I am he whom the world knows as Rama. In the short space of Muhurta, your life breaths will be forfeit to me." Kumbhakarna was convinced that he was Rama. He laughed with wrath and joy like a dreadful thundercloud. flung away from him on all sides the monkeys that came within his reach, roared like huge cloud banks and clove their hearts. Then he turned to Rama and replied, "Class me not lightly with that puny brute of Viradha, Kabanda, Kara, Vali and Maricha. Know that it is he, Kumbhakarna, that stands before you. See you the dreadful iron rod in my hands? It has been the means of worsting countless gods and demons. It is made of hard black iron. Would you slight me that I have lost my ears and nose? I feel not their absence in the least. I give you leave to spend upon me to your heart's content and to the best of your might, your valor and skill of hand. I will give myself an idea of your manhood and prowess and make a meal of you later on." Thereat Rama pierced him with keen arrows. They fell upon him with the speed of thought like the thunderbolt. But he felt them not, nor did he suffer any way. The arrows that went through the 7 shalot trees at one time, the arrow that drank the life breaths of Vali, the mightiest of the mighty, pierced into the body of Kumbhakarna like the Vajra of Indra, yet it affected him not. The shafts that hit him vanished from view like raindrops in the ocean. Its waters are not disturbed in the least and do not overflow its shores, even though the waters of the rivers and from the clouds run into it. And this happened with Kumbhakarna as well. He whirled aloft the dreadful bar of iron with frightful velocity and struck down the arrow sent by Rama. Again he brought it down upon the monkey hosts, and it was the weapon that made to water the armies of the gods. Then Rama discharged at him the astra dear to the god Vayu and shore off his right arm with its weapon. Kumbhakarna was sorely pained by it and howled and roared dreadfully that the quarters shook in echo. That hand, huge like a mountain peak and the weapon of Indra's Vajra, fell upon the monkey groups and crushed many of them to death. Those that escaped his grasp kept themselves far away with pale faces and mourn, and watched most anxiously the terrible duel between Rama and the Rakshasa hero. He tore up with the other hand a mighty tree and rushed to Rama like a mountain reft of its peak. Like a huge serpent dashing through the sky, the Rakshasa's hand came along and Raghuvira shore it off into two with the tree by an astra dedicated to Indra. It fell on the earth with a mighty crash and made short work of trees, mountains, blocks, monkeys and Rakshasas. Even then he blenched not. He roared most frightfully and kept up his attack upon Rama. Rama cut down his legs with 2 shafts known as Ardhachandra, shaped like a crescent. The quarters, mountains, caves and the sea and Lanka and the armies of the monkeys and the Rakshasas shook in affright and gave back the crash that came out of the impact of the legs with the earth. Bereft of his hands and legs, that mightiest of the Rakshasas paid no heed to it. He roared dreadfully with his mouth open like the ocean fire Bhadava. He roared dreadfully with his mouth open like the ocean fire Bhadava. He rolled himself on the earth with incredible speed and came at Rama like Rahu rushing along the sky to swallow the moon. Countless monkeys and Rakshasas were crushed to death thereby. Kumbhakarna kept on throwing down his throat all that came in his way. Thousands of monkeys and Rakshasas were drawn towards him by the speed of the wind that rushed from his infuriated nostrils and gave up their lives. Some were shot out far away and known no more among their friends. Thereat, Sri Rama filled his mouth with keen arrows. Unable to speak clearly, Kumbhakarna gave a mighty roar and fainted away. Deprived of hands and legs, his mouth filled with arrows. Even then he walked along on his thumbs and crushed to death countless monkeys. Raghava beheld him as he ran against him. He knew that the moment of the death of the Rakshasa drew near. He selected an astra over which Indra presided, spoke over it the particular spells and sent it against the Rakshasa. It flamed like the noonday sun. None could stay it like the rod of Brahma. It was intent upon destroying all things like Yama, the god of time. Its force and speed was irresistible like that of the thunderstorm on the last day. His joints were beautifully fitted. Keen was his end. Like the Lord of Day in full splendor of his crown, like the fire on the sacrificial hearth, fed to fullness by offerings and glowing in his joy, like unto the Vajra of Indra or the bolts that crashed from the blue, it clove the hearts of all that beheld it with its speed. And Sri Rama discharged it at Kumbhakarna, the bands of gold shone upon the mighty Rakshasa. In the far past, Indra's Vajra shore off the head of Dhritarashtra. Even so, the head of Kumbhakarna parted company with its body and fell down on the earth. It gave the beholders the idea of a huge mountain peak coming down to visit the mortal world. The tusks glared out frightfully from his mouth. The beautiful earrings rolled upon it. The severed head of Kumbhakarna shone high and huge in the heavens. Its splendor heightened by the earrings he wore. It sprang into the sky with the force that severed it and brought to those that beheld it the memory of the moon shining between the two constellations, Punarvasu, ruled by the goddess Atithi. That head of the Rakshasa, struck down by the arrow of Rama, fell down from the sky like unto a huge mountain. The houses and towers and lofty walls, the quarters of the fans were destroyed thereby. Then his body measured its length on the battlefield, bringing death to millions of monkeys that ran to escape that fate. A portion of it, shining like the Himalayas, fell into the sea near Lanka, and countless were the crocodiles, whales, shimshimaras, sea elephants, and other monsters of the deep that were crushed to death thereby. And even then the mighty body of Kumbhakarna sank to the depths of the ocean and clove for itself a way through its bottom. Thus did Kumbhakarna, who was the holy terror of the Brahmanas and the gods, through his terrible deeds, meet his death at the hands of the Almighty, the Lord in his boundless mercy. The earth, the mountains, and the gods were mightily pleased and danced and shouted for very joy. The holy sages in the worlds of the gods, their brethren on earth, the Pannagas, Asuras, Bhutas, Suparnas, Guhyakas, Yakshas, Gandharvas, one and all were beside themselves with delight at the illimitable prowess of Rama and sang his praises on high. The kith and kin and the retainers of Ravana beheld Kumbhakarna, their lord and master, who shone among them like a mighty banner thus done to death by Raghupati. Even like unto the Asuras of yore who trembled at the sight of Lord Narayana, they cried in affright at the sight of Rama as he blazed in the radiance of warlike fury, boundless luster and the flush of victory upon his arms. Like unto the Lord of the Day emerging from the mouth of Rahu, dispelling the darkness and fear from the three worlds through his supreme effulgence, did Raghunayaka shine in the midst of the monkey hosts. The monkeys, with faces blooming with joy like blown red lotuses, praised Rama, who, out of his supreme compassion, slew in battle Kumbhakarna of frightful strength, bulk, and valor. Even as the Lord of Heaven rejoiced when he slew Dhritarashtra, who held in terror the countless worlds, did the son of Dasharatha rejoice when he slew in battle dire the best and bravest of the valiant Rakshasas, who routed the hosts of gods in countless battles, and who knew not fear or fatigue when he stood up unto his foes. Mangalam Kushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhomaya Mangalam.